you want to be technical.
Okay, so in that 1 minute, I'll just tell you where we're up to, so you can at least open up the Gemara.
On our own time?
I think Sammy's already in Chutz Lartz, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. But Joel came back, so it's like, Zeh Nichnas V'Zeh Yotzeh. So we're on Daf Hey of an Aleph today.
Moving along.
Again, I always reserve the rights to go back, but... So we have the Mishnah at the beginning of Zvachim that formulates a very complex halacha in the case of Shelo Lishma in Shar Korbanos, and that is kosher v'lo olu l'baylam l'shem chovu, which means the korban is kosher, but it's missing an element of ritzui korban, and therefore it has to be replaced. So we're going to take a look at the third line on Daf Hey Amud Aleph. And the Gemara says, Rami Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish raised the following question. Im ksherim heim yiratzu, v'im ein maratzim lama heim boy. Do you remember this? We've touched on it in the past. In other words, Reish Lakish is perplexed by the entity of a carbon that's kosher, but it's not maratza. Is there such a thing as a carbon without ritzu? It's almost as if you rob the carbon of its very essence, and yet at the same time you call it a carbon kosher. And Rabbi Lazar here is going to try to find a precedent for that very entity, meaning that the Torah does recognize a carbon without kapara. And this is going to be the case of Yoledes. In the case of Yoledes, after 40 days, after 80 days, whatever it is, she has to bring a series of karbanos. And what constitutes that series? She needs both a chatos and an ola. And this sugya of Yoledes really breaks up into two, shall I say, sugyas. One sugya focuses on liachar misa, that if she only brought one of her two karbanos, and we'll see which one she brought during her lifetime, whether the yarshim could bring the other karban after her death. That's one sugya. And right here in front of us, we have another sugya in the same exact discussion, in the same context, and that is, what happens if she brought the karbanos in a different sequence? Forget about the fact that she died. Let's say she brought the ola and she hasn't yet brought the chatos. Now the halach is that the chatos, as we'll soon see, has to come before the ola. The easy way of remembering that, if you need a mnemonic device, is that ches comes before ayin in the aleph phase. That's how I remember it. And instead she brought the ola and she hasn't yet brought the chatos. So that's going to be a long discussion that Ritz Shem will talk about today. And that is, what happens if the Torah formulates a requirement of Seder Karbanos and you are Mahapich the Seder? And that itself breaks down into two issues, whether or not, because she brought the Ola first, the Ola is Pasul, or on the contrary, the Ola is Kosher, but the Chatos is going to be Psula. Okay, so first comes first. So let's see Rabbi Lazar inside. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amar Lo Rabbi Lazar, he turns to Reish Lakish and he says the following. You should not see a contradiction between the fact that on the one hand the carbon is kosher in the case of Shlo Lishma, and yet it's Eino Maratza L'Bailim. Shekein, I'm adding a word here, Matsinu Be Boim Liachar Misa, we're going to find the precedent for this in a case of a carbon that's going to be brought Liachar Misa. Sheheim Ksherim, in other words, there's a valid carbon that's brought Liachar Misa, so it means that the Yoledes died and the Yarshim are going to bring the carbon on her behalf. V'ein Marat, and there's no Ritzu. Now, Tosis has a long discussion here, which is not for us today, and I think we touched on it in the past. What does it mean there's no ritzui? And Tosis vacillates back and forth. Maybe there is ritzui. Maybe there's no ritzui. We have a principle of ein kapara l'meisim. So therefore it would seem that she, the Yoledes herself, does not have any, she cannot achieve any kapara. She's already gone. But on the other hand, it seems that there's a chiyuv on the Yarshin to bring the carbon. So maybe that itself sets up a kind of a ritzui. And Tosin the Habmir thinks there's no ritzui, and the Maskoni says maybe there is ritzui, and he goes back and forth on that. But let's see how Rabbi Elazar proves that there is this entity called a carbon that's kosher, which according to his understanding, Rabbi Elazar, there's no ritzui. And he quotes a Mishnah in Masechta Kinim. And Masechta Kinim always addresses the issue of a pair of karbanos, and if there are sfeikas about whether he brought the full pair, he only brought one member of the pair. It's very typical in the case of a karban olah v'yored, where you take two ofos, you take a torim of bnei yona. But this particular Mishnah has a certain universal ring to it that goes beyond, you know, the main focus of Masechta Kinim. And we're talking about, again, a Yoledes who's required to bring both an Ola and Chatos, in the order of Chatos and then an Ola. At the Melosime Taharasa, which again depends on a Zohar or an Akevitz, we're talking about day 41 when she finishes Hatara, day 81. And the Mishnah addresses the following scenario. Ha'isha she'hivya chatosa. So that's good. The good news is that she brought the first carbon first. She was not mahapik the seder. And then v'yachar kach mesa, and then she died. So in such a case, she hasn't brought the carbon ola. And you and I would say, well, what significance could there be, and let's take Reish Lakish is thinking cap on, what meaningfulness would there be to this carbon ola liacham misasa, since ein kapar lemesin? And yet the Mishnah says, yaviu hayorshim olasa, that the yorshim could bring the carbon ola after her death. And that's because she started with the carbon chatos. And if the carbon chatos was brought first, then the carbon ola, which comes second, will be kosher, because there was no undermining the seder hakarbonos. Again, we still have a tremendous chiddush over here, because, okay, she brought the chatos first, but on the other hand, to bring a carbon ola on behalf of her chiv as the yoledes when she's gone, that's a pel of a chiddush. And there's no question that, you know, Rebbe Loza sees in this Mishnah a very bombastic, you know, chiddush with tremendous repercussions, that there is such a thing as a karbon that's kosher without any ritzui, because there's no kapar l'mason. And then the sefer this Mishnah, which as I said is going to be a sugya unto itself, where she was mahapik the seder, and what she brought during her lifetime was olasa. And the question is whether that carbon ola is an ola kshera if she hasn't yet brought the chatos, umesa, and then she died. Lo yaviu hayorshim chatosa. And that could mean one of two things. Either it could mean that there's no possibility of bringing the chatos because she died, and then a chatos is essentially a kapara, and there's no kapara lemesa. Or it might be something else, that it goes even beyond that, that even the ola is possible because she had no right to bring the ola before the chatos. So what I'd like to do first, before we start the sugya itself, is to read to you a footnote here in the Masifta, where he bases himself on a chiddush of the Ramban. And although we're not going to see the Ramban inside, but Mitzvah will see the Ritva inside, and he says something very similar to what he quotes in the name of the Ramban, because after all, you know, historically the Ritva was a Talmud of a Talmud of the Ramban. I mean, he was a Talmud of the Rashba, he was a Talmud of the Ramban. And he says the following, that Miloshana Mishnah Mashma, in other words, if you're reading the Mishnah in Kinim carefully, as quoted here in Zvachim, it says Ha'isha Sheheviya Chatosa. And the Ramban wants to be medayik, the word Heviya Chatosa means not Hikdisha Chatosa. It's not enough if she was Magdish the carbon, as if to say that maybe you would entertain the idea that if she was Magdish and she designated this animal as a Korban Chatas and then she died, we could bring both the Chatas after her death and subsequently the Ola. But no, Dafka im Kvar Heviya es Chatas. You see his Diyuk in the Lashon HaMishnah? Right here at the beginning of Daf Heyom and Aleph, you'll see the Mishnah, which is about 8 lines down from the top. The first word in the line is Heviya. And he says, then Meviya Mayorshim es Olasa, Aval im lo Heviya es Chatasa. No, she was only Magdish the Korban Chatas, but she hasn't yet brought the Chatas on the Mizbeth. There was no Akrova yet. In that case, then lo Yaviyu es Olasa. And the Ramban adds a little bit of an explanation why the Mishnah insists that this whole process could go on posthumously, because she was already makriv the chatos. And he says, efshar lahavi es chatosa, there's no way that after her death we could bring the chatos. And he invokes a principle which we're going to spend a little time on today. It's shem chatos shemesu baleha holeches lemisa. And we're going to have various categories of a Korban Chatos where the Chatos itself becomes completely invalid and it goes to Misa. And here, in this particular case, the reason why the Chatos goes to Misa is because Mesu Baleha. That's one of the categories of Chatos HaMesos, namely Mesu Baleha. And the Ramban is saying, what is Mesu? When do we activate the principle of Chatos HaMesu Baleha? If there was no Hakrova of the Chatos during the lifetime of the Bala Korban, even though the Bala Korban was Magdish the Korban Chatos, we can't just go ahead and bring the Chatos simply as a result of Hakdosha. We need the Bala to be alive for that. The Chol's Man Shalo Hukrova Chatos. If the Chatos was not brought on the Mizbeach, then there's no possibility of bringing the Chatos Liachar Misa. And then for sure, we cannot bring the Ola Liachar Misa. So what the Ramban is establishing is that this possibility that opens up to bring the Ola Liachar Misa, which according to Rabbi Elazar is a very major breakthrough here, because it's going to be a very strange carbon Ola that's being brought Liachar Misa. But that's only because we already were makriv the Korban Chatos b'chayeha. If there was no akrov of the Korban Chatos b'chayeha, then Misa comes and passels the Korban Chatos in such a way that you cannot bring the Chatos liachar Misa. That's called Chatos shemesos, which we mesu baleha. And therefore there's nothing to talk about bringing the Ola liachar Misa. So the only havamina that we could, and that's the maskon also, according to this Mishnah, that you could bring the Ola Liachar Misa, because what? Who could help me out over here? They were already makriv the Korban Chatos Bechayeh. So we have the Korban Chatos. Now we're missing the Korban Ola. And the Korban Ola can be brought by the Yorshim Liachar Misa. And that's what we have over here in this Mishnah. The Gemara is going to go on and try to make a chiluk here between a Korban Ola, which could be brought Liachar Misa, as opposed to, for example, a Korban Asham, which cannot be brought Liachar Misa, and that's going to be the Hemshech Hasu. At this point, we want to study Rashi. The Rashi that I want to focus on is about 8 lines down or so, 10 lines down from the top. Lo Yaviu Yarshim Chatasa. So what happened in this case? This is the Sefer of the Mishnah that's brought down here in Zvachim, namely that the Ola was brought by the Yoledis during her lifetime, and then she died, and the question is whether Yarshim could bring the Chatas. And Rashi here at this point quotes what I call a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. I mean, the actual language of Rashi is Hilchos HaGemirah. And Rashi says the following: why is there no possibility of bringing the Chatos after her death? Says Rashi, and here he's basically invoking, as the Mesoros HaShas points out, a Mishnah in Masechta Tmura. The Havilei Chatos shemesu ba'aleha. So we saw earlier in the Ramban that the only possibility of bringing the Ola after her death is when they were makriv the Korban Chatos, because the Ola depends upon the Chatos, and the Chatos depends upon her being alive. If she's dead, we can't bring the Chatos, because with her death, the Chatos becomes Chatos Shemesu Baleh, and it goes Levisa. And that's what Rashi quotes over here, Hilchasa Gemirale de Levisa Azla. Okay then, so Rashi invokes the principle of Halacha Moshe Misinai, which is called Chatos HaMesos. Again, there are many, many different cases, five different cases of Chatos HaMesos, but one of them is Chatos HaMesu Baleh, and Hilchasa Gemirulon, that we cannot be makir the Chatos after the death of the Bala Korban, the Bala Chatos. Now what I'd like to study with you for a few minutes is a sugya at the beginning of Masechta Menachos, which seems to absolutely contradict this Rashi. And where is the sugya Menachos? It's on Daf Dalet. And this is a famous sugya of Rabbi Yirmiyah. And just to give the sugya a name, and whenever you see Rabbi Yirmiyah in the Shas, you know it's going to be a profound sugya by definition. Usually ends up with a teiku, by the way. Anyway, Rabbi Yirmiyah wants to know, is there a difference between what's called Mechaprim and machshirim, meaning that your classical karbon, the purpose of which is to generate kapar, that's called a machaper, or in plural machaper. And then you have unusual, rare kinds of karbonos, which very often are called mechusre kapara. But don't get confused, because that's, you know, when you hear mechusre kapara, you think it means that you're lacking in the kapara element, but really what it means is mechusre hachshara, meaning machshirim. And one of the examples is going to be a Yoledes, or another example is going to be a Mitzorah. And in those cases, and many other cases, the purpose of the Karbon is not Kapara, but rather to be Machshir the person. Being Machshir the person means to complete the Tara process and allow that person to enter into the Beis HaMikdash and to eat Kodesh. Amar Rav Yirmiyah, we're on Daf Dalet Amud Beis. Okay, and we're about, shall I say, halfway through the Amud. So if you're following inside, you'll take a look. I'll just identify it by the first word in the line, if that helps you. Bo'u. You see such a thing? Bo'u l'kapar. Otherwise, I don't see any other sibanim here that would help me, but it's smack in the middle of the Amud. Amar Rav Yirmiyah. Matsinu shechile kakosu bein machaprim uvein machshirim. We're going to prove, he says, from a Mishnah, and this is again a Mishnah that we're familiar with, even though it's in Masechta Kinin, that there's a fundamental difference which the Torah makes between two categories of korbanos. One category is called machaprim, and the other category is called Machshir. Okay, and again, we'd have to go through the entire sugya to see how he uses this chiluk to explain Asham Nazir and Asham Mitzorah and so on. But that's not for us right now. Okay, where do we find this distinction, and why is it relevant? So first, let's talk about the latter question. He says, "Machaprim ispahu." The Asu Liachar Misa, there could be an entity called Kapara Liachar Misa, which again in and of itself begs for explanation, because we have a principle of Ein Kapara L'Mason. But in any event, Rabbi Yirmiyah is going to say that, for example, in the case of the Yoledes, if she brought her Chatos during a lifetime, we could have an Ola that's brought by the Yarshim to fulfill the obligation of the Yoledes, because the Yoledes is obligated not just in the Chatos, but also in an Ola. That Ola is going to be a Karman Kosher under the law of Machaprim. That's what he's saying. Because again, there's no element of Machshirim Lachar Misa, but there is some element, quasi-element of Kapar Lachar Misa, whatever that is. And therefore, the Yarshim are going to bring this Karman Ola, Lachar Misa Sa Yoledes, as a fulfillment of the chiyuv, so to speak, of the old emes. Again, whatever that chiyuv means, that's, remember, I keep telling you that's a concept for, which requires a lot of work, called shibuda. Okay, but again, Rabosa, just don't distract me, because otherwise I'm going to get distracted. So then there's a concept of a certain chiyuv that passes on to the yorshim on behalf of their deceased parents, so to speak, in this case, the mother who is the Yoledes. And there's a mechaprim asu liachar misa. There's such a thing as kapara liachar misa. Again, it doesn't mean that if she was mafresh a karban during her lifetime, we're going to be able to bring that karban liachar misa, because then we have the principle called chatos shemesos. But she was not only makdish the karban chatos during her lifetime, she was also makri of the karban chatos. It was a chatos sheviu bechayeha. And now the question is, what's the status of the ola, which has to be paired up with the chatos? And since she incurred this double chiyuv of chatos and ola, the yarshim can somehow vicariously, on behalf of their mother, fulfill that chiyuv of kapara liachar mis. But that, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, could never ever apply to a karban ha-machshir. And that's what he says in the next line, machshirin lesbahu di asu liachar misa. So this principle of di asu liachar misa can only apply in the case of a machaper, but not in the case of a machshir. And therefore, if you have a machshir, such a karban becomes completely possible after misa. How do we know such a thing? So Rabbi Yirmiyahu quotes our Mishnah in Kinim in order to prove that if you're talking about a machaper, you can bring it liachar misa. Disnan, ha isha sheviya chatosa umesa yaviu yarshim olasa. So we have here a karban ola that's being brought liachar misa. And why? Because the ola is classified as what? As a mechaper, as one of the mechaper. However, the Sefer says that if during her lifetime she brought the karban ola, and then after bringing the karban ola mesa, lo yaviu yarshim mechatosa. Why? Because he says that in this case, meaning the chatos case, we're talking about a karban which is called a machshir, and there's no such thing as a machshir liachar misa. In other words, the premise here of Rabbi Yirmiyahu is that in this series, in this pair of karbanos that a yoledes has to bring, called chatos and ola, which of those two karbanos is the machshir? Are you with me? Which of those two karbanos is the machshir that allows her to return to the Beis HaMikdash and Tikkachim? The chatos, excellent. So for example, according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, the very moment, forget about the case of Mesa, but in a classical case, the very moment that she, the Oledis, brought the Karban Chatos, she can already enter into the Beis HaMikdash, because the Chatos is a Machshir. Now we have another Karban, and that Karban is called a Machaper. Again, this is all very counterintuitively, because we would think that the classical case of a Karban HaMachaper would be a Chatos. Okay, that's another dimension of the sugya, not for us today. But be that as it may, the two premises that reflect the two karbanos that the Yoledes brings is premise number one, the chatos is going to be a machshir, which means it completes our taro. And number two, his second premise is that the ola is a machaper. My nafkimina, says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, there's a tremendous nafkimina in the case of misa. The ola is a qualifying karban as a machaper, even liachar misa. But the chatos could never qualify as a valid karban liachar misa, because the chatos is defined as what? As a machshir, an ein machshir liachar misa. So my question to you today is, how do I reconcile this sugya with Rashi and Masechta Zvachim? Rashi in Masechta Zvachim says that the reason why, if she brought the karban ola, I'm sorry, start again. Rashi says that if she brought the ola during her lifetime, the Mishnah establishes that you cannot bring, the Yarshim cannot bring the Chatos Liachar Misa. And why is that? because we have a halacha of Moshe Sinai, and halacha of Moshe Sinai tells me that a chata shemesu baaleha is absolutely possible. Misa ka'azla, Rashi says. Now wait a second, that's not what Rav Yirmi is telling me. Rav Yirmi is telling me that the reason why we can't bring the chatos liachar misa is because what's the nature and the essence of the karma chatos? It's a machshir, and there's no machshir liachar misa. You can't be machshir someone who's dead and tell me that this is part of a process that can allow them to return to the camp. Rashi, on the other hand, says there's a separate halacha, which is called halacha Moshe Sinai, that a chatas can't be brought liachar misa, because once the bialim die, the chatas itself goes to death, meaning it's completely invalid. If Rabbi Yirmiyahu would be operating the way Rashi operates, namely with halacha Moshe Sinai, then that would not generate a svara which Rabbi Yirmiyahu wants to universalize and apply to many, many different karbonos, that there's no such thing as a karbon hamachshir liachar misa, which, by the way, is a very solid, intuitive svara on its own, but don't introduce halacha Moshe Sinai. Now, this is going to be round one, but I want to show you that the plot grows even thicker, because the Shita Mekubetzes here in Mesechta Menachos, again, it's very small. I'm going to see if I can read it. Thank God it's only one line, so I'm lucky. So the Shita Mekubetzes number Yud, on the mission itself that says Lo Yaviu Yorshim Chatosa, says the Shita Mekubetzes She'ein Mechaper Leachar Misa. Now the Shita Mekubetzes is also problematic. What do I mean? We said, at least in the context of Rashi and Masechta Zvachim, that the reason why the chatas can't be brought after the death of the bialim is because there are five categories in the halacha Moshe Sinai of chatas shemesa, and one of it is mesa baaleha. And we didn't know how to reconcile that with Rav Yirmi, because Rav Yirmi is using an external svara to say that the reason why the chatas can't be brought liachar misa is because the essence of this chatas, in the case of Yoledes, is a machshir, is a machshir liachar misa. So that was problem number one. But in truth, we have another problem over here, because the Shita Mekubetzes on the spot here in Masechta Menachos gives me another logical reason why you can't bring the karbon liachar misa. And that's because there's no kapara liachar misa. Ribbono Shel Olam, what do you mean there's no kapara liachar misa? The whole point of Rabbi Yirmiyahu here in this very sugya is to say that the reason why you can't bring the chatos liachar misa is because it's a machshir, and there's no machshir liachar misa. If had she brought the chatos during her lifetime, and now we want to bring the ola, the Mishnah says we will bring the ola. Why? Says Rabbi Yirmiyahu, because there is kapara liachar misa. So machaper could be brought liachar misa. Comes along the Shita Mekubetzes and he says ein kapara liachar misa. So I was thinking that maybe we could give it teretz. But the question is whether my teretz would be effective for Rashi. You know, can I answer up the kash on Rashi? I think in the case of the Shita Mekubetzes, we can get away with it. And we could say that when the Shita Mekubetzes says, and again I quote, Ein Mechaper Liachar Misa, he's basically trying to tell me that the purpose of this chatos cannot be achieved liachar misa. Again, his language is a little bit, what word do I want to use? It's a little bit imprecise from the way I'm presenting it. Again,
lav dafka.
Like it's lav dafka, right? Lav dafka. What he means is that whatever you have to achieve with this karbon, meaning this chatos, is inachievable liachar misa. Call it a kapara, call it a machshir. In other words, the machshir itself is a result of ha-kapara. Right? A chatos has an element of kapara too. It also has another element of machshir. And what the Shita Mekubetzes is presenting here from the perspective of Rabbi Yirmiyahu is that it's a package deal. The package deal of this chatos of Yoledes is to achieve a twofold purpose. On the one hand, this chatos achieves the universal, classical, karma chatos purpose of a kapara. And on the other hand, it's got a unique facet or achievement in the case of a chatos Yoledes as a machshir. And Rabbi Yirmiyah's logic, according to the Shita B'Kubetzes, is that this is a package deal. It's Hava Atalia. To the same extent that you can't imagine achieving the kapar of the Chatos Le'achar Misa. Why? Because the kapar of the Chatos Le'achar Misa is going to set up what? The Machshir element, and the Machshir element is immovable or irrelevant Le'achar Misa. So too, we understand that there's no Kapar Le'achar Misa, there's no Machshir Le'achar Misa, this carbon has to serve a twofold purpose. But again, that's the logic of Rabbi Yirmiyah, and I can justify that, but I can't justify Rabbi Yirmiyah if I'm operating according to Rashi with a different halach entirely. That with the death of the Bailim, we apply the halach of Moshe Nisina, namely what? Chatos HaMesos, that the Chatos is completely invalid. If that's halach of Moshe Nisina, that doesn't prove anything for Rabbi Yirmiyah. So
that's assuming that the ritzui does not occur the moment the chatos is
right.
But what's inconsistent with the Rabbi Yirmiyah with the
halacha? No, I'm just saying you're operating on two levels here. In other words, if you're operating on the level of mesu baal leha, that the baal hakorban died, then you're operating in the world of halacha l'moshe nisina. You're saying the following: that basically I could bring this korban even li'achar misa. But there's halacha l'moshe nisina that ein mevim chatos li'achar misa's bailo. That's a chatos halacha. Meaning, the Torah in this Hilchos of the Gemirle passed on to us a unique condition in korban chatos. That's not the way Rabbi Yirmiyah sees it. Rabbi Yirmiyah is not talking about a unique halacha in Hilchos chatos. He's universalizing to many different korbanos, as long as these korbanos serve the purpose of what? Of being a machshir. For example, we'll talk about Hashem Mitzorah and Hashem Nazir. These are all cases, according to Rabbi Yirmiyah, of machshirim. So you can't talk about a meaningful carbon as a machshir li'achar misa, which is again a very compelling logic, but to prove it from the case of chatas yoledes li'achar misa, that's not a valid proof. You know, there's a technical foul here, as we call it in basketball, because chatas li'achar misa has a special halacha that misas habailim completely invalidates a carbon chatas. That's chatas halacha. Has nothing to do with a bombastic chiddush that says that, you know what this chatas is in the case of Yoledes, it's a machshir. Forget about that. Has nothing to do with whether it's a machshir or not. There are many halachas that apply to a korban chatas that invalidate the chatas if certain conditions haven't been met. We'll see soon, for example, the Gemara is going to talk about a vlad chatas. That a vlad chatas also has to go to Misa, even though in many cases you could bring the vlad as a replacement for the mother animal, the korban. But in chatas we have a whole bunch of new regulations that operate in restrictions. One of them is that you need the bailim to be alive. Now, if that be the case, what does Rabbi Yirmiyah prove from the fact that if the bailim died, the chatas is possible? We can't bring the chatas lachem misa because it's a machshir. Has nothing to do with being a machshir. Am I clear? Okay. So the one who tries to understand this is the Rosh Hashiva Rav Shlomo Katz Shlita in his Sefer Nefesh Tova, and I'm going to read to you what he says. If you have it, that's great. You'll tell me where it is in your edition. In my edition, it appears on, as I'm going to tell you, not going to tell you what page, because if I tell you Samach Gimel, it's just going to confuse you. But it's Os Samach Aleph. Okay, Samach Aleph. Do we have that? Samach Aleph? And it's on page Samach Dalet. Excellent. Okay, then. Now you should find a paragraph. You see, this is not fair. I didn't tell you which paragraph I want to look at, so you may change the page number. So do you have on your page a paragraph that says Yesh Li Yashev? Oh, it's on the same page?
No, it's on the next
page. Okay. See, on my edition, it's all on the same page. V'yesh li yashev. And I tried to read this about five times, over and over again, until I think I came up with maybe that's what he has in mind. So we'll see. He says that we have to read a Rashi in Masechta Me'ilah. As I always say, you got to know everything. Okay. Now, The main sugya for chatos hamesos is in me'ila, because the din is that this chatos, because of mesu baleho, has a very tricky status as far as me'ila is concerned, because since it's lemisa, is there such a din, a concept of me'ila and a carbon that's lemisa? But in any event, we're not focused on that element. We're focused on Rashi's explanation of chatos hamesos. So what happens in chatos hamesos? What are the cases? We have vlad chatos, we have a case of tmuras chatos, but we're interested in the third case on this list of five, and that's called chatos hamesu ba'alel. Okay. So the Gemara is quite clear about vlad chatos. And the Gemara says that in the case of vlad chatos, the reason why the vlad goes lemisa and it cannot replace the original, you know, the mother carbon, is because lo hifresha mitchila lekapar. In other words, you need what's called a hafrasha to be mafresh and magdish this carbon for the purpose of kapar. So you and I would have said, well, the mother was designated as a carbon with hakdasha, and that should somehow carry over to the vlad, you know, like uber yerech imo. So maybe that's true during the lifetime, I mean in the fetal stage, but after the uber emerges as a separate independent entity, then you have to admit that there was no hakdasha l'shem chatos on the vlad. So that's the Gemara calls that Eino Ru'il L'Kapara, meaning unless you had Akdosha L'Shem Kapara in the case of Chatos, then the carbon is possible. So in the case of Lad Chatos, there was never a Hafrasha L'Shem Kapara. Fine. So Rashi explains, at least in one case, then in the case of Lad Chatos, which goes L'Misa, that we have a principle called Eino Ru'il L'Kapara. Now, Rashi is a little bit odd, because Rashi knows that these five cases, these five categories of chatos hamesos, which means that the chatos goes to the misa, have one common thread, and that's in the source. They're all derived from halacha Moshe Nisinah. And at the same time, Rashi is doing somersaults in the air to explain the logic of why the carbon goes to the misa. And if we focus on the case of Vlad Chatos, Rashi says that the reason why it goes Lemisa is because it's lacking in Re'uil Kapara. Because in order to be Re'uil Kapara, it's got to have a Hafrasha L'Shem Kapara. And the Vlad Chatos did not have a Hafrasha L'Shem Kapara. And if it doesn't have a Hafrasha L'Shem Kapara, it's Ein Re'uil Kapara. And if it's Ein Re'uil Kapara, Rashi says it goes Lemisa. So it's a very odd kind of situation, and that's what he's pointing out here. On the one hand, we're operating with Halacha Moshe Nisinah. On the other hand, we're operating with a Svara. So he wants to say the following, that Rashi understands that the reason why Vlad Chatos Shemesa is possible, is goes to Misa, is because Eiru Yula Kapara. The Af, despite the fact that Halacha Moshe Nisinah, Sorech Lomar. How do we reconcile this Rashi? He says the Ihoi Saru'uyla Ikarev. Rashi is basically setting up the parameters and the ability to apply and activate the halacha of Moshe Nisinah. Rashi's not asking for the time of the reason, but the Geder Hadin. And he says the Ihoi Saru'uyla Ikarev. That if Lu Yitzuya could find a case of a Vlad Chatos that was Re'uyeli Karev, right now this is a theoretical possibility, then Rashi says we would not apply the Halacha Moshe Nisinah. The Halacha Moshe Nisinah is telling us that because it's Eina Re'uyeli Karev, therefore Tavus, therefore the Vlad goes Lemisa. And Rashi's not giving you the reason why it goes Lemisa, but Rashi's telling you when it will go Lemisa. It will go Lemisa when it's Eino Ru'il Ikarev. And why is it Eino Ru'il Ikarev? Because again, Rashi says there was no Afrasha L'Shem Chatos. In other words, and again, we have to see the practical implications of this, that we're going to have a case, again, it might be in the case of Korban Toda, we have to go through this, but Be it as it may, if Lu Yitzur you had a possibility of using, of being makriv a Vlad Chatos and achieving Kapara through that Vlad Chatos, then Ein Achinami, the karma would be kosher, we would not apply the Halacha Moshe Nisim. Does everybody see what's going on over here? In the terminology that I like to use in a different class, which is called Derech HaLimud, there's a difference between Tam HaDin and Geder HaDin. So you could have a Tam HaDin, which is just Gzeres HaKosim. The Torah says it's Azoy. Don't break your brain. But then, what you can do is offer a Geder HaDin and define it, and then you're defining the parameters of the Din. So for example, if I tell you again, just this is Vidok Vitishkach, you know, but just for my sake, I'm talking to myself. I can tell you that, you know, that the reason why we're not going to allow you to put both meat and milk on the table, on the same table, is because you might come to mix it together. But then I can tell you a different gether, and that's a gether of Basar B'chol. Or, for example, I can tell you that you can't put almond milk on a table. Why? Because next time you'll put, you know, somebody will accuse you of putting milk on the table, and then you pour the milk in a fleshy pot. That's already tam hadin. But the geder hadin would be that it's possible chol. And then after meeting would be it's also banda, and you might have another gzera on top of the first gzera, because once you establish it as possible chol. For example, I can tell you, this is very relevant in Marasayim. Always in Marasayim, we have to ask, What's the Tama Isur? And then we have to ask, what's the Gedera Isur? So I can tell you that if you have two Psochim, you have to light a Ner Chanuk on both Psochim, because somebody's going to walk down this side and he doesn't see a Ner Chanuk, and he suspects you of what? Of not fulfilling the mitzvah Ner Chanuk. That's only the Tama Dover. But the Gedera Dover is totally different. The Gedera Dover is that Pesach is Mechayev you in Advokah. So, for example, the Prima Gadol vacillates back and forth about whether you make a bracha on the first and on the second. You make two brachas, let's say, if you use mafsa, it can be trikos, otherwise it can be yotzei both psachim with one bracha, like in the case of Shkita. You have a separate mitzvah for each behemoth, but if you can kill many birds at one stone when in one bracha. But let's say it was a hefsek between, maybe you'd have to make a bracha on the second Pesach. This would be an interesting quiz question. Where do you find in halacha that one person will make two brachas, both on behalf of his own chiyuv, on Ner Chanukah on one night? So that would be the case of Yeshbo Shnei Pesach. There's a famous chiddush of Rav Moshe Soloveitchik Zichrono Livracha about why the Gemara has a havamina that women should be obligated in tefillin. The Gemara's maskana is they're not because the mitzvah seishah is mine grown. So Rav Moshe plays with the possibility that tefillin is zechel yitzias mitzrayim. Because in the parasha tefillin, the Torah says that you should remember yitzias mitzrayim. So women are included in that mitzvah zechel yitzias mitzrayim. Therefore, they might be included in the mitzvah of tefillin. And at the end of the day, he rejects it. He says there's certain mitzvahs where Zechel Yetzias Mitzrayim is not just the Tam HaChiyuv, but it's also the Geder HaChiyuv. But in the case of Tefillin, although Yetzias Mitzrayim might be the Tam of the mitzvah of Tefillin, but the Geder of the mitzvah of Tefillin is the Maisa Hanocha at a specific time period. And therefore, women for sure will be exempt from Tefillin. Okay, fine. I don't know if any of that, but don't fetish. So I think the Rashid is using a similar methodology here to justify Rashi's Halacha Moshe Misinai in the case of Mesu Baleha, right? You have a Chatos and Mesu Baleha, and at the same time, Rabbi Yirmiyahu coming up with a Geder called Mechaprim, or I shouldn't say Mechaprim in this case, I should say Machshirim. And where do we see this? We see this in Rashi in the case of Vlad Chatos. Because Rashi on the one hand maintains that Vlad Chatos is Lemisa. Why? Because of the Halacha Moshe Misinai. And yet Rashi seems to say on the other hand that the reason why Vlad Chatos is Lemisa is because it's Eid Royal Kapara. So how do we reconcile that? Comes along with Rosh Hashiva and he says the following. Enochinam, if you're asking me what's the Tam HaDomer, why is it that of Vlad Chatos goes to Lemisa? The answer is because of the Halacha Moshe Misinai. If you're asking what the Geder HaDomer is, then the answer is that the parameters and the application of this Halacha Moshe Misinai is when it's Eder Royal Kapor. That's the answer that Rashi wants to give to a different question. Not why, but what is it? And the nafkamina is going to be, if you have a case where the Vlada Chattas could be Machapra Liacha Misa, then Rashi would insist that you don't apply the Aloch Lamoshe Misinai in the case of Vlada Chattas. Let me just finish the sentence here. And the Rashim wants to say the same thing applies here. Ulefi Zebavuar, the Aftenoket Rashi Hocha, here in Zvachim Rashi says, the Tam Shein Makriv Machattas Liacha Misa, right? The old lettuce dies. And now we want to know if we could bring the Chattas Liacha Misa. Is Rashi says Mishum Dehi Hey? It's one of the five Chatos HaMesos, and it's a Hilchos HaGemira on. How do we then reconcile that with Rabbi Yirmiyah, who says that the reason why we don't bring this Chatos HaMesos is because it's a Machshir V'Yein Machshir in Liach HaMesos? He says Mikol Makom Yesh Lo Chiyach Mikan Debol HaHachshir V'Lo Hichshir Posel HaKrova. That if it's a Korban HaMachshir, and now the person is dead, and it has no, there's no meaningfulness, no significance to bringing a machshir liach hamisa. It's possible, right? So he's giving a gether now for the Aloch Lamoshe Misinai, which would mean the following. Again, this may be totally theoretical, and we have to see if it's practical at all. But if Lu Yitzur, you could have a possibility of some sort of a machshir liach hamisa, then enochinami the Aloch Lamoshe Misinai wouldn't apply. Or, for example, if you would have a possibility of a machaber liach hamisa, then the halacha Moshe Misinai wouldn't apply. And that's what he's going to touch on in the next paragraph. Go ahead, Alan.
Just I wanted to clarify, when was this Vlad become a Vlad?
Again, I don't know all the details. You'd have to learn the Sugya and Tmura. I didn't even open up the Gemara and Tmura. Yeah. But whenever the case of Vlad Chatos is amongst the five Mesos, then Rashi is going to say the reason why the Chattas goes L'misa is because it's Eder Royal Kapar, there was never Afrosh on the Vlad L'shem Chattas. Now, if you can come up with a case where there was Afrosh L'shem Chattas, then Eder Chinami, Rashi would seem to say that in that case it's Royal Kapara and we don't apply L'Alach L'Mosh Misina.
So it must be that it must have been born before the
it was after that Afrosh, yeah, but before the carbon was brought.
Yeah.
And now the carbon went dark.
If the Vlad was still within the Uber Ima,
so then you have different dinim, you know, because once you bring the mother, then we don't have to,
right,
we don't have to achieve any akrov on the Vlad. But now, if you didn't bring the mother and the mother is gone, so can I bring the chatos, the Vlad chatos, as a substitute replacement for the mother? And we have two different answers to that question. I mean, we have one answer to this question, but two different explanations as to why that answer is correct. Namely, that this Vlad is not going to replace the mother. And on the one hand, Rashi says that's because of Aloch Lamoshe Misinai. On the other hand, Rashi says it's because of Eino Roi L'Kafar. So that's what the Rashi wants to reconcile. Now he has a chiddush from Reb Chaim. You'll tell me if it's on the same page, because in my version I have to turn the page. And Reb Chaim wants to suggest the following. That there is a possibility of applying the Aloch Lamoshe Misinai of Chatos Shemesos even if there's no possibility of Kapara. So again, Rashi whittles down or restricts the Aloch Lamoshe Misinai of Chatos Shemesos to the case where it's Eder Royal Kapara. Chaim has a sugya, and he wants to prove from that sugya that even in a case where there is a possibility of kapara, of what we call a royal kapara, nevertheless we're going to apply the Aloch Lamoshe Misinai. Do you see where that's antithetical to Rashi? And that's a sugya menachos. And what does it say in the sugya menachos? Adam miskapir b'shvach hegdesh, v'yachol iskapir b'vlados. The afal pikein. So again, there's one by the other that says if you have something called shvach hegdesh, then you can use that as a kapara. And one of the cases that this by the other quotes is a vlad hegdesh, and the vlad hegdesh is subject to kapara. In other words, the generating of a chaper. And yet, even according to that, by the omer that a vlad could replace its mother in generating a kapara, nevertheless, if it was a chatos, then the vlad chatos is lemisa azla, and we cannot bring it as a machaper. Even though in and of itself, if not for this halacha l'moshe b'sinai of vlad chatos meisol lemisa azla, you could achieve a kapara through the vlad chatos, according to that man the omer. Says Rav Chaim, Chazinon, what do we see from this? The afal gav de ru'uya l'kapara mikomakom mesa. Now the balance of this essay is an analysis of the raya of Rav Chaim against the way we understood Rashi. You know, it's a very fascinating occasion here that Reb Chaim is arguing against Rashi, because Rashi says that Taloch Lemosh Misinai of Chata of Vlad Chatos Lemisas only applies when if it's Ein Aruya LeKapara, and Reb Chaim has a sugya that proves that in the case of Vlad Chatos it's Lemisa Azlo even though it is Aruya LeKapara, because that's called Shvach Hevesh Mechaper. So again, I'm not familiar with the sugya of Shvach Hegdesh, all of his kapur Shvach Hegdesh. If you have a chance, maybe even in the next 5 minutes, as I move on, just again, if you don't mind looking up the sugya in Menachos Daf Pei, maybe you'll see a Rashi there or so. I may have it here on the desk also. Let's see. Let's see how far this goes. No, not far enough. Okay, then, so it would be the next volume here of Menachos. He says some pay of an hour. But again, I'm not asking you to do this and schlep me into this until you have a maskana, because I want to go on. So you can decide you don't want to do this. That's up to you. You know what I'm saying? I just want to move on, because I have a whole... As I told you at the outset, this Mishnah in Kenan that we're studying has a whole other dimension to it, and that is, if she was Mahapech the Seder, and she brought the Ola first. Now again, what happened after she brought the Ola? She died. And the Mishnah says that because she died, we can't bring the Chatos. And Rabbi Yirmiyah makes a big deal about that, because you can't bring a Mahapech L'Yachar Misa. And Rashi says, well, it's a case of Chata Shavesu Baleh, and we apply the Halacha of Yerushalmi Sinai, and we try to reconcile Rashi and the Gemara of Rav Yirmiyah. But the implication of the Gemara is, had she been alive, or let's say if she were alive, then what would happen?
You could bring the...
She would bring the Karban Ola. Everybody see that? In other words, the whole reason why we got fluked up with this Ola is because she died before she could bring the Ola.
No, not this.
I'm sorry. I made a mistake. What did she bring first?
The Ola.
She brought the Ola. So why is it impossible to bring the Chatos? The Mishnah says... What does the Mishnah say why you can't bring the Chatos?
Because
she died. Is that clear? Again, what her death does to the Chatos, we had many different permutations, whether it's Halach L'Moshe Misinai of Chatos Shemesu Baleho, whether it's Ein Aruya L'Kapara, whether it's a Din of Machshir, and Ein Machshir L'Hamis. Again, that's a whole discussion. But the Mishnah in Kenan says that the reason why it's impossible to bring the Chatos is because she died. Dalmiyach. Forget about the fact that she died. She can't bring the Chatos even if she's alive. Again, L'chora. Again, this is a pedagogic shtick I'm saying. But L'chora, we would have said that she can't bring the Chatos even if she's alive. Because what? She brought the Ola first. And again, my question rests or stands on the following premise, that whenever the Torah in Hilchos Kodshim sets up a Seder of Karbanos, then if you're Mahapik that Seder, that's Likuva. That completely undermines the carpet. Again, I have to prove that to you. Obviously, you're the jury, and you're gonna fight me tooth and nail, which is good. That's what I want you to do. But what I'm going to try to prove is that to be Mahapik the Seder is a very serious problem, which means that this Mishnah is a pella, because the Mishnah how do you say in English, is tola. The Mishnah, it makes it depend, makes the psul of the chatos depend upon hamisa. Forget about hamisa. She brought the ola first. Unless we're going to say that if she brought the ola first, that's a problem in the ola, but not a problem in the chatos. Do you follow what I'm saying? So if you're going to say it's a problem in the ola because she had no right to bring the ola before the chatos, that's fine. And then the Mishnah is just addressing one question: can we bring the chatos? And the answer is she would be able to bring the chatos if she were alive. She'd have to bring one after the chatos, an ola, another ola, to replace the first one. But never, we can't bring the chatos because she died for whatever reasons, chatos, shemesis, balei, and so forth and so on. So that's what I want to take a look at now together with you. And I think that this is the subject of Tosfos, Dibra Maschil Olasa. So Olasa means that she brought the Ola. That's the Sefer, the Mishnah, and Kinim. Umesa is Lo Yaviu Yorsheh Chatosa. Okay.
Tosfos
here on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Dibra Maschil Olasa. Here in Zvach. Right? The Tosfos says the following. Mashma, why is it impossible to bring this chatos? Says Tosfos, Mashma. Alright, I'm going to add a few words to Tosfos. You'll tell me if it's okay if I add these words. Mashma mishum demesa. Right? Aval im hoisa chaya, if she would still be alive. I see a small mem over here. Do you have a small mem here?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there is a girsa change.
Im hoisa chaya.
Oh, im hoisa chaya. Okay. Just 1 second. So, how do you read the Tosfos here? Im hoisa chaya. Oh. So he's only adding one word. Excellent. One word of three letters. Chaya. We like that word, right? Because we're happy she's still alive. She's the old legends. I'll definitely tell her not to fast this Sunday, that's for sure. But she's alive. Is Yechol Lavia Lavi Chatosa? She could bring a carbon chatos. And if not for Tosfos, I never would have blinked about that, because for sure she could bring the chatos. That's exactly what she has to bring. Oh no. She brought in the wrong order, because the Mishnah says she brought an ola. And the Mishnah says, you know what? The problem here in the chatos is that she died. What do you mean the problem is that she died? Even if she were alive, she wouldn't be able to bring the chatos. He says, Im ha'isa chaya, yichol lavi chatosa, achar olosa, after her korban ola. Vi olsa lo olosa l'shem ola. In other words, Tosfos understands that the reason why she should bring a chatos here is because she already brought the ola. And Tosfos says, what's going on here? What do you mean she already brought the ola? The ola has to come after the chatos. Haraya, ayin, comes after ches, right? He says, v'chein mashm v'toris kohanim. V'parashas isha ki tazriya shim hevia olasa tchila tovi chatosa. She's allowed to bring the chatos after what? After the ola. So nowhere does it say that she has to bring the ola again. And for sure it doesn't say that she can't bring the chatos, because Adarava, we can't bring the chatos on her behalf if she died, but if she's alive, she'll bring the chatos.
What does it mean, olosa?
Min olosa. Oh, for this I have to read to you a footnote here in the Masifta. He says the following. Just 1 second. Okay, let me just find it. He says the following. Just give me can you give me a second, Rav Osai? Just 1 second. Oh. Rishud Ches. Klomar, let me just read this to you. Dim hevia tar liola. What do we say a tar was in English? A pigeon? I always get confused. Tar is liola. Tzricha achshav lahavi tar lachatos. Okay, that's the Yisodas of Masechta Kidim, that in the case of Korban Ov, both have to be either they're both Torim or they're both Bnei Yonah. So that's what he says, Mimin Ha'ola. So she brought the Ola from a tar. Now she has to bring, if she's alive, she'll bring the Chatos from a tar, because that's the halacha of a Korban Ov, that both the Chatos and the Ola have to be brought from the same min.
Why that doesn't have to tell us that?
I don't know. That's just Tosis. No, because again, Tosis wants to point out that the Ola is still kosher. Again, you might say, well, maybe she could bring the Chatos, but then she's going to have to bring an Ola afterwards.
No, but the question is, can you even bring a Chatos? Because
correct. That's exactly what Tosis wants to know. Can she bring the Chatos? But Tosis wants to tell you another Chiddush. Not only does the Gemara imply, this mission imply that she can bring a chatos, but it also implies that the Ola is kosher. No, now, you could have said the mission implies that she has to bring a chatos, but she also has to replace the Ola. So Tos wants to say no. The mission is telling me two chidushim. Chidush number one is that she can bring a chatos after the Ola, and chidush number two is that she doesn't have to bring an Ola to replace the first Ola, even though she changed the same there. So Tos says it has to be min Ola. So why does the chatos have to be a tar? Okay, so the Ola was a tar. So what? The Ola is not worth a dime because she brought the Ola before the chatos. No, Tosfos says, even though she's ma'apit, the seder is garnish ketrafa. Nothing terrible happened here. She can bring the chatos, finish up the whole story, and I'll prove it to you, so to speak. I'll prove it to you, meaning from the fact that Tosfos says it has to be mimin ha'ola. He says the following: the imei via ben Yonah la Ola. Okay, she had another option. She could have brought a Yonah. I think Yonah, they say, is what, a turtle dove or something like that. Okay, don't ask me what a turtle dove is. I have no clue. Okay, you have to bring. I'm sure they have pictures here somewhere. You brought me all those sparim, so I'm sure one of them have a picture.
Yeah,
we'll get a good picture. He says, is then tzricha lahavi ben Yona lechatos. Why? The tzorach shetehei hachatos v'olah v'oso min? And that's the mission at the very beginning of Kinim. Because again, Kinim is, all of Kinim is about a mixture where she doesn't know whether or not she brought a tar or whether she brought a ben Yona because they got mixed up. And now, does she replace one of the two or does she have to replace both of them? And because the ken has to be from the same min, therefore she may have to replace both of them. Okay, so that's this footnote here. So in the past, you should know, I was very skeptical about this thing called biriatosis in the back of the Masifta, because it never helped me. Anytime I looked at the Biriatosis, I just fell on my I failed miserably. But here's a case where he helps you. So maybe I'm restoring my faith in the Masifta Biriatosis. Does Rav Kahana have anything on Masechta Menachem, on Masechta Zvachim? Anybody know? I think he probably does.
What, on
May Menuchos?
I don't think so.
He didn't get to Zvachim?
I don't think
so. Is he still working on the project?
No.
The one above the comma is dedicated in memory of my brother. My brother was very close to Rav Meir Kahane, Rav Nachman's brother. Okay, so again, let's just see the Diuk of Tosis. Tosis comes to the conclusion based on the Mishnah in Kinim that if she brought her Ola first and she's alive and well, she can bring a Chatos and complete the process. The Ola, even though it was brought before the Chatos, is Kshera. And the Chatos is Kshera, even though the Chatos was brought after the Ola. And now Tosis says, Betema, this is impossible. This is untenable. And he says the following. He says, the Beperek Tamid Nishchat, is everybody on the place? Amrinon Zebinyan Av, Shekol Chatos Kodmos Li'ola. That in general, we have a rule that a chatos always comes before an ola. That has repercussions not only in terms of a carbon ola viorid, where you bring both a chatos and an ola, but in general, let's say two people brought a carbon simultaneously to the migdash, there's only one coin available, so you always give precedence and priority to the chatos before the ola. And he says this applies even if the chatos comes from an oath. and the ola comes from a behema, because usually a behema is much more chashuv than an oaf, but nevertheless a chatos takes precedence over an ola. And then he says, and this is the clincher of the sugya in Masechta Psachim, the afilu b'dieved, in other words, if he was marked in the ola before the chatos, ka'amar the posel. The Gemara says that it would be posel. Again, which carbon is posel, we have to see, but one of the two, if not both, maybe are posel. And how does Tosa see that in the Gemara Psachim? Mina Mishani, the Gemara answers, the Shani Olas Mitzora. No, it's in the case of Olas Mitzora, the Mitzora has to bring again both an Ola and a Chatos, and if the Mitzora brought the Ola before the Chatos, is Kshera. Why? Drachmona Omar, because we have a special Gzeres HaKos, especially Yafuso. Vehela HaKoines HaOla. And the Gemara says that the word Hela is a superfluous word. And what does it teach me? Shehela Kvar. Kvar means before the Chatos. So again, when the Mitzora comes at the end of his period of time, he's got the Zayin Nikiyum, he's on the eighth day, and so forth and so on, he went to the Mikvah, Al-Sdink, and let's say he had the Matan Bahonos, everything's wonderful, now he has to bring two Korbanos, he's got to bring a Korban Chatos and then a Korban Ola. If he switched the order and he brought the Ola first and the Chatos second, everything is fine, everything is hunky-dory. But how do we know this? The Gemara says from a Pasuk, Vehela Koines HaOla. Helakvar, meaning when the Torah says that the Mitzora brings a Chatos, the Torah says Vehela Akoin, he brings the Chatos, and Vehela Sa'ola Kvar, he already brought the Ola, which means that even though he violated the din of Kedima, he was meant to bring what first? The Chatos? Nevertheless, everything is kosher. So what's the problem? That sounds good. He says, Hainu b'di'eved, the l'chadchi l'chatos kodem, k'ksiv b'edj b'kro, it says in the Pasuk, v'achar yishochet es ha'ola, says, tos shmamino, d'bi'alma, afil b'di'eved lo. What's the shmamino?
That this is only a din in
excellent. That from the fact that the Gemara, the sugya in Tominishka, requires, especially Alfusa, to be machshir, the chatos after the chatos that's brought after the ola in the case of Mitzora, it means that it's a special halach in Mitzora. The Gemara is saying that as a universal rule, the chatos has to come before the ola, and if you were mahapith the seder, then afilu b'di'eved is posel. Here, b'di'eved it's kosher. Why here in Mitzora is kosher? Because the Torah says v'hela, afilu m'hela kvar. Wow. There's so many premises here and so many diukim in order just to generate the kasha of Tosfos. So let's just review. And when I say that, I'm talking to myself. We have to know, number one, that whenever you have to bring a chatos and an ola, which comes first? The chatos. We have to know, number two, that there's a diuk in the Mishnah in Kinim with regard to chatos yoledes, that if she brought the ola first, she, if she's alive, could bring the chatos second, and everything is kosher.
Only in that case.
Okay. What I meant to say is that only in the case where she died is the chatos psula, but had she been alive, she would bring the chatos after the ola, and everything is hunky-dory. And then we have to know number three, the sugin in Tavid Nishchat, which has a gzeres hakasuv in the case of Mitzora, that if he violated the din of Kedima and he brought his ola first, is vehela shehela kvar, he brought the ola first, it's kosher, implying, says Tosfos, that the universal din without this gzeres hakasuv would have been that even though that not only is it lechatchila that you have to bring the chatos first, but even b'di'eved, if he brought the chatos first, if he brought the ola first, the carbon is possible. And that's against the Mishnah.
So the dig that we saw is not a good dig. The dig by Yishayolevis.
Well, no. At this point, Tosfos is stuck with a conflict. He's going to offer two solutions. One in the name of Reb Chaim Cohen. Have you heard of Reb Chaim Cohen in Tosfos? The most famous Reb Chaim Cohen is at the end of the second Ksuvshu. where supposedly he says that his father said there's no mitzvah of aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And the Sukkot, you know, in Ger and Sukkot, you can't mess around with Eretz Yisrael. You can't. It's just like one of the Yudgil Ikri Adat. So he writes that Talmud Torah Kosmo, it was not Rav Chaim Cohen. Because Rav Chaim Cohen is quoted as saying that today that we have, you know, we have danger in going to Eretz Yisrael, then don't even bother, because it's not a mitzvah v'zman hazeh. There seems to be a Megillas Esther, who's a commentary on the Rambam in Sefer Mitzvahs. He claims that the Rambam omits the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael because v'zman hazeh there's no mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. Like this supposed Rav Chaim Cohen. But Beinenu, that's not what the Rambam meant, and I don't know if Rav Chaim Cohen wrote that Tosfos or he was quoted Tosfos. But anyway, it's amazing. But wait a second, how did I get off on a tangent? Yeah, so Tosfos is going to quote Rav Chaim Cohen to try to reconcile this theorem. Because at this point, Tosfos has a theorem. From the Mishnah in Kinim, we see that she could bring the Chatas after the Ola, and from the Sugya in Tamei Nishcha, we come to the opposite conclusion, that only in the case of Mitzora is the exception to the rule, the Mitzora could bring the Chatas after the Ola.
So does he know that?
Has he known it's an exception? Because otherwise, why does the Gemara need a Pasuk?
Needs a Pasuk to tell you that for everyone.
Oh, okay, good. So you were also Reb Chaim Cohen, you know. Maybe you could bring Karbanos if you're Reb Chaim Cohen.
No, but I think...
But I'm talking before Reb Chaim Cohen. Yeah, you know, I just want to present... Yeah.
No, but isn't it... Maybe it goes against the rule called the Rosh HaMechlal and some of the Pano.
Oh, wow, Alan, you know, you're always a few light years ahead of me. If I can get by this thesis, then I'll bench Baruch Shef, you know, bench Goem, you know. But you're asking about Dovah Shoyi B'Klal, the Yotzim HaKlal, do you need to be Machnis back to the Klal? Right now, we're assuming that if the Gemara finds a compelling reason to Darshan Apostle, an extra word in the Torah, to teach you that the Mitzorah could bring his Chatas after the Olah, that as a universal rule, he cannot bring a chatas. The exception is Mitzorah because of the Pasuk of Ahel. Okay, that's what we have now. V'tirei tarav Reb Chaim. Now this is not the Salavashik Reb Chaim. He wasn't around at the time of Tosfos. And he says the following. Dehu adin bi'alma. Don't classify Mitzorah as the exception to the rule, but as a reflection of the rule. And the rule is that b'di'evet, if you messed up on the Seder HaKrova, it's kosher. And Kedim is only a l'chatchil embellishment to the mitzvah, but each korban stands on its own 2 feet. You'll ask me, v'ha'ad boy krov mitzvah? Why does the Gemara need v'hela to tell you that b'di'evet it's kosher? After all, that's the universal rule. And now, Reb Chaim Cohen wants to say that there was a hava mina, that this rule, which b'di'evet is kosher, does not apply to mitzvah. The hava mina would be the dafka mitzvah, the seder is likuva, and for that I need a pasuk of hell. Okay, then the second time source is going to be what you said before, Alan. And he says the following: what was the hava mina dafka mitzvah that the seder is likuva? He says mishum dechsiv ba in the parsha mitzvah it says zos. Tihyeh. And then it says Torah Samitzorah. Now the word Tihyeh is called in the language of Torah Shebal Peh. Tihyeh in the Torah Shebal Sav is called in the Torah Shebal Peh. Anybody remember? Behavayasam. Behavayasam means exactly the way the Torah requires it. Behavayasam Yehet. Demashma, from the word Tihyeh, Likuva. And therefore, the Torah is requiring that the Seder be done exactly the way it's written in the parasha, namely, he brought the Chatas first, and then he brought the Ola. Kidamrinon, b'perikam de Menachos, and the beginning of Masechta Menachos, it says that the Seder, which the Torah presents in the parasha Mitzora, is Likuva. And why? Because it says, Zos Tiyah b'havayaso Tiyah. Now, the thorn in our side here, as far as Reb Chaim is concerned, that Reb Chaim is setting up what I call a machlokas hasugis. In other words, according to Reb Chaim, the maskana of the sugya in Menachos is antithetical to the maskana of the sugya in Psachim. In Psachim, we came to the conclusion then Mitzora ultimately fits into the universal pattern, and even though the Mitzora brought his Chata second, everything is kosher. And for that we needed a drasha of Vehela. Whereas Reb Chaim Cohen claims that the Sugi Menachos came to a different conclusion based on the word Vitiya. Now what we have to iron out here in Reb Chaim is how do we reconcile these two Yalfusas? He's not willing to reconcile the two Sugis. In other words, the Sugi Menachos is going to wave the banner of what? Of Vitiya, and therefore the Seder is Likuva. The Sugya in Psachim is going to wave the banner of Vehela, and therefore the Seder is not Likuva. But, says Reb Chaim, we can use the Sugya in Menachos and the Drash of Etiyah to justify the Hava Mina. It's not a Maskana. And I'll prove it to you, he says, from the Sugya in Menachos, that the Sugya Menachos comes to the conclusion that what? That a Mitzora who switched around the order is fine, and the Chatos of the Mitzora is kosher, even though it was brought after the Ola, and the Gemara derives that from the Pasuk Vehela. You'll ask me, why did I need the Pasuk Vehela if universally Seder is not Ma'akim? And the answer is because of Etiyah. But somehow, which we have to, again, that's the part of Reb Chaim that has to be ironed out, just technically, the Vehela somehow trumps the Vitiya, and we don't know why. Then Tosis is going to offer his own answer, Venira Li. Okay, then, but before we get to Venira Li, I just want to point out something from the Nefesh Tov. And here you'll tell me what page you're on, and that's Simon Samach Beis.
Samach Zion.
Samach Zion? Excellent. Do you see a paragraph that starts, again, I should have told, I asked you first what page is this paragraph on, Ulam Baritva. It's on Samach Zion?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay, great. Ulam Baritva. Now, he quotes the Ritva in, you know what? What time is it? All right, let's leave out the Ritva. I would love Belineda, but somebody has to remind me, when are we getting, today is what?
Wednesday.
So if somebody could remind me on Monday, we're not fasting on Monday, right? So we can give a shtar kashir. On Monday to do this ritual. But I'm going to skip it for today because I want to get to Reb Chaim. When I say Reb Chaim, I mean Reb Chaim and Bala Tosfos. So you'll tell me what page you're on. And it's Simon Samach Gimel. In the Nefesh Tov.
Samach K. Page Samach K.
No, wait. No, something's filled. It can't be Samachet because then we're going Samachet. Back.
Samachet.
Oh, Samachet. Okay, that's good. Okay. Now, in order to appreciate this discussion, this presentation, which is very profound, what we're going to have to do is we have to take a step back and compare Reb Chaim to Tosfos. Okay, so let's read on in Tosfos, and then we'll come back to this Sima. And Tosfos says the following. Benirali. Everybody have it? So we're on Daf Heyam and Aleph. Tosfos Divri Amastil Violosa. And we're looking for Venira Li. This is after he presented Reb Chaim. And he says the following. The Alfinon Chatos Viola Shel Yoledes Mi Chatos Viola Shel Mitzorah. In other words, like this. According to Tosfos, as opposed to Reb Chaim, the general universal principle is that Seder is Ma'akev. Reb Chaim, on the other hand, understood that we had a special Havamin in the case of Mitzora, based on Vitiya, that maybe the Seder is Likuva. But the universal rule, which we saw in the case of Yoledes, is that the Seder is not Ma'akev. But the evidence, everything's kosher. Tosfos is now Hofech HaSakar al Piyo, he goes to the other extreme. And he says that no, the universal rule is that Seder is Mi'akiv. Okay? Now we have, I'm going to ask you, one exception to the rule or two exceptions to the rule? What? We're going to have two exceptions to the rule.
Because
we're going to have Mitzora. Because in the case of Mitzora, the Torah says, excuse me, the Torah says, Vehela, which is Machshir, the Mitzora who brought the Ola first. And we have another exception to the rule, and that's the case of Yolevis. Where had she survived, instead of dying, then she would bring the Chatos after the Ola. And the Seder is not Machshir. These are the two exceptions to the rule. Now, in order to pull this off, what Tosis is going to have to do, because again, in the light of the universal Allah that Seder is Likuv, he's going to have to show you that there's some sort of, I don't know what word to use, but for lack of a better word, interdependence. There's some sort of very powerful analogy here between Mitzora and Yoledis. Because the exception to that rule is going to be Mitzora. And the Pasuk in the Alfusa establishes that exception to the rule. What gives Tosis the right to extrapolate from this case of Mitzora the exception to the rule in the case of Yoledes? Zaktosis nirali di alfinon chatas viola shel Yoledes, which means that the evidence kosher if he was mahapik the seder, or she was mahapik the seder, right? Michatas viola shel Mitzora. The gila kosuv, the Torah was megal in the case of Mitzora, based on the pasuk vehela. Diim asa ola tchila ksheira. Why? Vehela, because of the pasuk vehela. And that's what we saw already in Psach. Ilav krod vehela. If not for the pasuk vehela, which comes to be machshir in Mitzora, then we would have assumed high apostle. Why? Because he brought the Ola first and the Chata second. High apostle b'chol makam. B'chol makam means universally. Now, Tosis throws a monkey wrench into the sugi. Because you'll ask Tosis, what's this universal principle? How do you know? Again, before we set up Mitzora is the exceptional case based on Vehela. How do you know that universally Seder is Ma'akiv? So Tosis has a new principle here that he throws into the equation. It's called Mechusar Zman. Mechusar Zman means if the Torah tells you not to bring the carbon until a certain point, until a certain moment in time, the carbon is possible if you're mocked in the Zman, because that's called Mechusar Zman. Now, what does Mechusar Zman have to do with our discussion today? The answer is, says Tosus, that when the Torah requires the Chatas to come first, the Ola is called Mechusar Zman. And Rabosa, if that be the case, again, before you analyze this principle, but I mean, I just want to cheshbon out, if that be the case, then in the context of the universal principle, which of the two Karbanos, Ola or Chatos, or possibly both, would be possible in the universal principle of Mechusar Zman if he was mocked in the Ola to the Chatos?
The Ola.
Because I would say both. Why? Because the Ola is Mechusar Zman, he hasn't brought yet the Chatos. No, excuse me. I'm sorry, let me start again.
That's right.
I would say that the Ola is Mechusar Zman because he hasn't brought the Chatos. What is his immediate obligation? The Chatos. So in such a case, if he brought the Ola first, you can't apply the principle of Mechusar Zman to the Chatos. And if the Chatos would be Ksheira, but if I'll call upon him, the Ola would be possible. So let's see Tosis inside. He said the universal principle would be Hoya Posil B'chol Mokom Itam, because of a principle that we accept called Yesh Mechusar Zman Lebo Bayom. Okay, now this is fascinating. Mechusar Zman usually means in the classical case where tomorrow is the time for the carbon, and you brought the carbon today instead of waiting till tomorrow. Here, both carbonos, the chatas and the olah, today, they're immediately, urgently obligatory. The only thing is that one carbon, i.e. the olah, has to wait another half hour or whatever it is until he brings the chatas. He has a footnote here, Reish Chaf Hei, and he says, this is against Reb Chaim. Because Reb Chaim assumed that al pi svara, we would certainly know that b'di'evit if he undermines the seder, it's kosher. In the case of Mitzora, says Reb Chaim, there was a Havamina because of the Pasuk Vitiya, that it would be an exception to the rule. And therefore we would passel it to the Eved. But as a universal rule, we're not going to apply the principle of Mechus Zman, but rather on the other hand, we're going to say that both Korbanos are kosher. That's Reb Chaim. Again, you'll ask Reb Chaim, why then did the Gemara need a Gzeiros HaKosev of Vehela in the case of Mitzora? So the answer is because of Vitiya. But that only puts it back into the general category where the Seder is not Ma'akev, and that's why in Chatas Yolenis it's not Ma'akev, if she brought the Ola first. I, Mechus Zman, don't talk to me about Mechus Zman, but Bo B'Yom. That's Reb Chaim. But Tosfos says, Yesh Mechus Zman L'Bo B'Yom. In other words, even something that is, the Zman is today, it's still Mechus Zman, and it's Ein Aroy L'Akrova, because of the Din of Kedima. So the Din of Kedima would generate what? A psul of Mechus Zman. Now, the classical case of Mechus Zman is the age of the animal that you want to bring on the Mizbeach. Like, for example, a shor has to be 8 days old after its birth. So let's say you brought the shor 1 day early. So that's called Mechus Zman. But that's only Mechus Zman Limacha, if you follow me. We have to wait till tomorrow. Otherwise the carbon is not kosher. So that's called Mechus Zman. And Tosis wants to extend the principle of Mechus Zman to encompass even Bo B'Yom. Now what makes it Mechus Zman, this is another Chiddush of Tosis, the fact that there's a Din of Kedima. I haven't yet brought the Chatos, therefore the Ola is Mechus Zman. So the Ola is considered Mechus Zman until he brings what? The Chatos. Says Tosis Kevan Shomar HaKosav LaHakriv Chatos Kodem Liola, is therefore the Ola becomes Mechus Zman. Vafilu Bi'alma Dileka Tia Mashma Likuva. Meaning, it's not the way Reb Chaim understood it, that the reason why we needed a pasuk in the case of Mitzora to be machshir if he brought the Ola first is because of Vitiya. No, the Havamin in the case of Mitzora would be that it's Mechus Zman, and therefore it would be posel. Now we need a pasuk to take Mitzora out of the bag and set it up as the exception to the rule. The next step is to derive Yoledes from Mitzora and make those two cases the exception to the rule. So again, there's a whole fundamental machlokas here between Reb Chaim and Tosis himself about why we needed a pasuk of Vehela in the case of Mitzora. Reb Chaim understood that there was a specific Havamin in the case of Mitzora that maybe the Seder would be Likuva, we need Vehela Lafuke. Tosfos says, Faker, the reason why we thought that Mitzora is possible to be the Eved if he was Mahapik, the Seder brought the Ola first, is because that is the Din. The exception to the rule is going to be Mitzora. And why is it the Din that the Mahapik HaSeder would be possible? Be the Eved, because the Halacha Mechus Zman, even in the case of Bo Bayom. And now Tosfos is going to quote a sugya Menachos to establish that this Halacha of Mechus Zman in a case where he was Mahapich the Seder. And this sugya Menachos is the same sugya that Reb Chaim quoted earlier. If you remember the last line before Venera Leon Tosis, it says, Kedam Rina Beperikavad de Menachos, and the Sugi Menachos assumes that in Mitzora the Seder is Ma'akev. Says Tosis, Teda, I'll prove to you that there's a psul of Mechus Zman, even Lebo Bayom, from the Sanya Beperikavad de Menachos. In the case of Mitzora, the Gemara says that if he was Hikdim Chatosol Ashomo, is lo yehe echad memaris bedomo elateitzel beis hasreifa. Okay, so the Gemara says that the chatos has to come after the asham. He was makdim the chatos to the asham, and the Gemara says that in such a case we don't do what's called memaris es adam, but rather the chatas goes to beis hasreifa. Why? Because he brought the chatas before the asham. So it's fascinating. The seder akarbonos in the case of Mitzor, because Mitzor has to bring three karbonos, is that the first carbon he brings is the Asham, the second carbon he brings is the Chatas, the third carbon he brings is the Olam. Now in this case he brought the Chatas before the Asham, and therefore the Gemara says that since he brought the Chatas before its time, because he can only bring the Chatas after he brought the Asham, therefore takes the base Hasreifa, for the carbon is absolutely possible. And the Gemara says that why is it possible? So Tosis interprets that it's possible because of Mechusuzman. Ka'amar Hasam, the Gemara says in the name of our Papa over there, the Hadu Mifsal, Lav Mishum, not because of the Pasuk Tia. That's the way Rabbi Chaim Cohen would interpret the sugya, because again, Tia doesn't refer to the carbonus at all. It has to do with the Tara Samitzor. But anyway, Velo Koya Shchita Mishum De Lava Vodahi Ela Mitam De Yesh Mechusus Man Lebo Bayom Shomer Kosev LaHakdim Osham Tchila. So since this halacha of Kedima Asham, and he brought the Chatas first, the Chatas is Mechusus Man, and therefore it's possible. V'zeh Atam, says Tosis, Lama lo yehi gabi chatos v'ola v'alma. In other words, in general, as far as chatos and ola, we're going to apply the principle of mechusus man. And therefore, just like in the case of chatos v'yosham, if he brought the chatos before the yosham in the mitzora, we're going to say that the chatos is called mechusus man, and therefore it's yotzei lebeis hasreifa. So too, in general, as a universal principle, in every case of chatos v'ola, the Ol is considered Mechusus Man before he brings the Chatos. And the only exception is Mitzora. And then we're going to have to extrapolate from Mitzora to what? To Yoledes. Lekach Itzrich Vehela B'Mitzora Lahachshe B'Dieved if he's Makdim the Ol. V'Gamrina Minei. We're going to derive other cases. Lahachshe B'Hikdim Ol L'Chatos. But again, in the case of Chatas and Asham, we don't have that equation. So we're able to make the jump to Yoledes, because Yoledes is very similar to Mitzora. The Seder here is Chatas first and Ola second. In Mitzora, the Torah made a breakthrough and said, we're not going to apply the principle of Mechusus Zman if the Mitzora brought the Ola first. We're not going to apply Mechusus Zman to the Ola. Therefore, the Ola is kosher and the Chatas is kosher. We can extrapolate from that to another case of Ola and Chatos, namely the case of Yoledes. But in the case of Asham and Chatos, then we go back to the original rule, the universal rule of Mechusus Man, and therefore as far as the Chatos is concerned, its status is that of Mechusus Man, because you haven't yet brought the Asham, and therefore the Chatos is Yotze Lebeis Asrif. So what the Rashiv is going to do, which I don't know if we'll have time today because it's time for Mincha, he's going to analyze the machlokas between Reb Chaim and Tosfos. What is the general universal rule, and can we apply the principle of Mechusus Man in the case of Kedima or not? Okay then? So we learned a lot today. I mean, I'm just complimenting myself because I'm excited. I'm excited when I know anything. You know.